This is the Iowa State Athletics SciCast.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Walters. Today's SciCast is with legendary former Cyclone coach Johnny Majors, who's back visiting friends this weekend. Majors took Iowa State to its first two bowl games in 1971 and 72. And to this day, he has a strong emotional attachment to Iowa State University and Ames. We hope you'll enjoy our visit with Johnny Majors. Well, we're visiting with Johnny Majors, who spent several years here at Iowa State and had such success. And Coach, Matt Campbell's here now, and he's the youngest coach in the FBS level. When you came to Iowa State, you were only 33 years old, and you brought in a young staff, and you guys had a lot of energy. Can you kind of relate to what Matt's going through right now at Iowa State and the way that he's trying to do this?
When I took the job at Iowa State, I was 32 in December of 1967. I was 32 in May. So I turned 33 after I accepted the job. But I also was the youngest head coach in Division I football at that time in the whole country. Hmm. And I guess there are about 120 schools or 27 or so total in Division I-A. At that time, there were probably about 105, I guess, or something like that. I tell you, it's very exciting, to say the least, to become head coach. You never know what it's going to be like. You don't know whether you're going to be able to handle the situation or not, but you're there, so you got to get after it. People have asked me many times, what's your greatest victory? What was your greatest victory at Iowa State and Pittsburgh and Tennessee? There's none bigger than when we beat University of Buffalo my first game, 19-7, right here in Clyde Williams Stadium. And who knows if you're ever going to win a game when you coach, or if you may lose a ball. But that was one of the greatest victories of my life. And I can imagine what he's going through. It's exciting, and you look forward to going to work. And I never got depressed at the time, hardly at all. At one time, I got somewhat depressed that after the game. I was always disappointed when we lost, and always it hurt when I played and when I coached. But the one thing that I remember more than any other game, maybe in my career, probably in my career, that I was really hurt and didn't go out amongst the people after the game. This was a very friendly, great state. People are wonderful, and they hadn't been winning here, and they'd have nice house parties on weekends. Saturdays would be sometimes a dozen people, sometimes six, sometimes 20. And we always went out, except the night after my second year's last game, we played Oklahoma State here, and they had us probably like 28-0 at halftime, and ended up only beating us 35-0. And the coach that time had been a good friend of my dad's when he was coaching at a small college. He was the Oklahoma State coach, and my dad, we got to be good friends. They played against each other when my dad was coaching Sewanee, Division III schools. And I think he definitely took it easy on me because his friendship and respect for my dad. I think he could have beaten us probably 60-0. And Mary Lynn and I stayed home. I said, Mary Lynn, I'm not interested in going out tonight. I was really low. 2 years in a row, we were 3-7 the first year. We were 3-7 the second year, but we finished worse than what we were the first year. And I was concerned because we weren't improving. And I called a staff meeting. I called all the staff that night. We're going to be meeting in the morning at 8 o'clock. You can go to church later. You can skip church. We're going to meet at 8 o'clock next morning, and I'll see everybody there. They all showed up, and I told them, listen, fellas, we've got to recruit football players, or we're not going to last year. We had a great recruiting year that year. That's some of the great Ike Harris and Willie Jones and on and on. That was one of the greatest recruiting classes I've ever had as a head football coach. We went to 5-6 the next year, then and fourth year we were 8-3 in the first bowl game in Iowa State history. It's a very challenging job. It always will. Well, they've had some teams that have been very good since I left here, and I've seen quite a few of them play since I left here. It's a great place to live. It's a wonderful school. It's a great school to recruit to, and I had a wonderful time with the great people, and they treated me so wonderfully in my family. Everybody on my staff. There were at least five or six assistant coaches, including Jackie Sherrill and Jimmy Johnson, some other very well-known names, became head coaches off that staff. That was one of the best young coaching staffs in the country, I can tell you that, even though I may be bragging a little bit, but it's true.
Well, Coach, you had another meeting with Oklahoma State to close out the 1971 season, but you needed that victory
to ensure the trip to the Sun Bowl and Iowa State's first bowl trip. And just tell me how exciting that was, getting carried off the field after that great lopsided victory over Oklahoma State.
Gosh. Yeah, we had to we had to win the game to get the bowl bid. We would if we won the game, we'd be 8-3, yeah. And the Sun Bowl promised us that we won it. Oh my gosh, we scored on the first play of the game that we had the ball. George Amundsen, our great quarterback, who was an outstanding runner and a very good passer, hit Ike Harris. We faked a run, and it was a 58-yard pass, I'm virtually certain. Faked a run, hit Ike Harris on a dead run. Ike Harris was a big, tall 6'5", and was right kind of slew-footed, but he could fly. He had great speed from down in the – and his dad was a sharecropping farmer. And right near West Memphis, Arkansas. But we ended up beating them 58-0, and that was certainly an outstanding score for anybody, particularly Iowa State, from where we'd come from and to where we were. The crowd stayed, and they sang and and on and on and on. They didn't want to leave it, and it makes me tear up now, even though I'm smiling. It brings back a great memory. My eyes are watering a little bit right now. What a great memory. What a great bunch of people I worked with here and for here, and also what a great bunch of young men that we coached. Oh, my gosh, they were something else.
Well, it's the players that that make it, and you brought in a lot of good players, as you mentioned, a lot of them from Florida, and started a pipeline up here of getting great players from the South.
Joe Avezzano is the main one that started that. He's from Miami, Florida, and he grew up in the south side of the Miami there. And when he grew up there, it was mostly ethnic groups from other countries. He's Italian. Joe went to Florida State and was very flamboyant. He was the first person in Iowa to wear flared pants. He had one of the most beautiful wives you'll ever see, and she made his clothes for him. And he'd wear these fancy jackets and whatever. But Joe could recruit. In the next year, second year, I hired Ray Green as our receiver coach. He was African American, and he was originally from Ohio, and played college football there. Then he went to Florida as a high school coach. So I had a really double team effort in Georgia with those two and Florida. We had some great athletes out of there, and people like George Amundsen from Aberdeen, South Dakota, and Dave McCurry from right here in our own state, and many, many others. Merv Croker.
Well, and Keith Kraftley, and I mean, it goes on and on.
Kraftley. Potosi, Wisconsin. Potosi was a town of about 200 people. We picked off a few people that nobody else got because I'm a small town boy, and we have Kraftley, we had a hard time finding what position to play. We tried him at safety man. We tried him at cornerback, and he turned out to be one of the greatest tight ends in college football, one of the greatest tight ends certainly I ever coached. What a fabulous player.
And you mentioned George Amundsen. Boy, did he do a lot of different things for your program, whether you needed him at running back, quarterback, whatever the case may be. He was exceptional.
He was a superb athlete in every way. He was a great runner. He's 6'3", 215 pounds, and he could run a 4.7 40, and he broke the Iowa State all-time shot put record and discus record, and he had broken the American high school record in the discus when he was in Aberdeen, South Dakota. One quick thing about George. George had a great sense of humor, and he liked to have a little fun in practice. I'm a disciplinarian. I know what I'm on. I want things done, little things done. You know, you stress the little things. If you don't, it's going to become big problems. But occasionally, he'd sprint out to his right on a sprint out pass, and Kraftley, he's such a great athlete and so gifted. Kraftley would be running a flat pass from the tight end, and George would be running. He'd just lift his leg while he's running, throw it underneath his leg, and he'd hit Kraftley right in the hands. I said, George, what are you doing? What the heck are you doing, man? This is serious business. Against Missouri, we hadn't beat Missouri in 31 years down there, and this is 1971. And we had not beaten anywhere in 20 years. So we had a terrific team there in 71, of course. And we had the game won 31-19, it was. And in the late in the quarter, I said, okay, we're going to run the clock out. We were going to run the clock out, and I said, George, my favorite play, kneeling down, take the butt snap in the center and kneel. Well, the first two times I told him what we were going to do, run the clock play, knowing George, he's so competitive, he took the ball in the center and he bounced around, jumped around, and jumped over the pile and made 1 or 2 yards. And then he did it again. And I said, they're near our sideline on a hash mark. And I said, George, get on a. I said, I won't say exactly how that was. I said, get on the ground, get on the ground. Well, he did it one more night. I got down on my hands and knees. I can't believe I would let a guy do that. I'd probably jerk him out of that blame game. But he went 71 yards for a touchdown on an option keeper. He went 35 yards on an option keeper for touchdowns. And when I got on my hands and knees, here I am. I know 37 years old or whatever, 38. Hands and knees, and they're close to the last one. I said, George. Get on that blame ground. That wasn't exactly what I said, that blame. Get on that blame ground, George. And he says, but coach, he peeked his head out of the huddle. And he says, but coach, it'll ruin my rushing average. He's pulling my string. He's so confident. He knew he wasn't going to fumble. So I didn't throw him off the team.
Well, coach, you had great success at Iowa State. And then you went on to other great successes at Pittsburgh and Tennessee. But you've always held a special place in your heart for Iowa State. You always come back. And I know you've told the story about you and Mary Lynn pulling away from Ames and thinking, what a wonderful place. And what is it that keeps drawing you back?
When we backed the car out with a trailer on the end of it, I had my two little kids. They were like 4 and 2 at that time, or 3 and 5 anyway. Backed the car out of over in Ontario Circle on Ontario Road where our house was. And I backed it out and I says, Mary Lynn, I don't know what the rest of our career will be like, but it will never top what we've experienced here at Iowa State. And that meant for the people and what it did, the satisfaction of winning and knowing you can coach football and having good staff members and some wonderful athletes that probably Iowa State had never had anything like them, except when it was Clay Stapleton had a real good team 1 year in 7-3, I believe, had those two great running backs, one after another. He had several great single-wing tailbacks. But anyway, in my career, there's been nothing more exciting and more gratifying than the 5 years I spent here. It's hard to explain what it was. The first quarterback club I made, touchdown club in Des Moines, it was a friend of mine turned out to be a great friend. They'd been having about 25 to 50 people at the quarterback club meetings, and when I came here as head coach, he went around, he bought a bunch of tickets and paid for them and went to see his friends and say, you got to come see our coach. And this one guy says, I'm not going to go over there. He won't be there over a year. If he gets another job, he'll be gone, or they'll get rid of him. Nobody's ever lasted over there long, even though Clay Stapleton did for 10 years and was a great coach here. He said, you got to come. I mean, I've been to your events. You're an Iowa graduate. I mean, you got to come, and we need to have a full house. So I'm like I am right now. When I get enthused, I'm enthused about being back in Ames, in Iowa State. I talk a little fast, and I mumble my words because I'm from lower middle Tennessee, and I get excited. I can imagine that a lot of times players might have said, what did he say? But anyway, the guy called me, my friend that sold the tickets and got other people to come. I was talking about playing with pride and enthusiasm. We'll never learn to lose, and we'll never give up. We're going to act like winners. We're going to dress like winners. We're going to practice like winners, and we will become winners. So the next week, he didn't call me for 2 or 3 days after my talk, but he called me and said, now, Coach, we don't know each other that well yet, but I thought you might appreciate this. So the friend that said he wasn't going to come, and I said, you got to come, or I'm not going to anything else that you want me to buy tickets for Iowa or anybody else. He said, what did you think about our new head coach's talk? He said, well, I didn't understand a dad blame thing he said, but I liked the way he said it. I never lacked for enthusiasm, and I never lacked for competitive encounters, but that wasn't always successful.
Well, it's so great to have you back, and you're always welcome back at Iowa State, and it's great to see you. You look great, and we appreciate how much you appreciate coming back to Iowa State.
I will always love the people of Iowa who treated me so well and supported me, and the Iowa State University, which is a great, great academic institution, and it's a terrific place to live. God, it got cold in the winter. I had to change my whole wardrobe, but we learned to live with it, and we learned to have a great time. We had many friends here, and I'll always come back as long as I have a breath.